Hey, Warheads, this is Trivial Warfare. We are the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. My name is Jonathan, and Ben and Chris are back with me. Second show in a row, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Man, just like the last time we started this. It was almost like it was a couple minutes ago.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Deja vu.
Actually, and you're saying that you take the pub quiz out of the pub and bring it home to you. Does that mean that they get bourbon delivered to them also?
BYO bourbon.
Yep, that's what we always say.
So, now, recently we had an awesome thing happen.
Did we?
Our listeners will remember a few shows back, we had a guest, Joel Sharpton, from the Always Listening Podcast Review Podcast, and not too long ago, they actually reviewed Trivial Warfare.
Nice.
On their podcast review show. So, Chris, you've listened to this. I've listened to this. It's been out for a few weeks now. What did you think?
Well, first off, it was really nice to hear honest critique about the show. And that part I really enjoyed a lot because you and I have regular meetings, whether it's at lunch or just to try to talk about the show and how we can improve ourselves. And we kind of go back and forth on we need to do this or Chris, you suck at this, stuff like that.
And, sounds about right.
Yeah, you know. But to hear somebody that's not involved in the show at all, even though Joel did do an episode a couple weeks with you, which was fantastic, by the way.
It was a good show.
Really good. But besides that, it was nice to hear that. And I know personally them talking about like how I did and how I performed, even though my last name is Hollister, by the way. Hollister. Like the surf shop. We're out there. We're proud. Anyway, but I really took it to heart, and I'm really going to try my best to take a few of the things that they mentioned and really plug it into more episodes that are coming up. So hopefully I'll be better.
You know, I thought actually I enjoyed the review. I definitely love getting outside opinions, and I love feedback in my life and in general work. I'm a feedback
And honestly,
person.
Jonathan was my boss for, what, 3 or 4 years?
Yeah.
It was something like that, and he was one of the few bosses that I had that really, truly enjoyed receiving feedback from his employees because he wanted to be a better boss. So he's not just saying that. That's not lip service. He actually means that.
Thank you. And so I enjoyed that part of it. The one thing that I disagreed with, I felt like they undersold you a little bit.
Really?
Because they said, I guess the other guy's name is Chris, and he's kind of the co-host, is kind of the way it made it sound. But no, very simply, you are definitely my partner in crime. You are the co-host. You're one of the founders of the show.
I appreciate that.
I want to make sure that we don't undersell that. I know that we do some guest episodes and we do some other things because you recently got married and have had a lot going on.
Yeah.
But you're a big part of the show, so
thank you.
They kind of undersold that a little bit.
I appreciate that because I know I'm very, very proud of this show. This is something that I like not only doing and performing and what have you, but also just I want to do the best show possible. I appreciate that defense.
And, I mean, hey, I need somebody here to beat.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right, let's go ahead and get. Why don't you warm it up? What up, Chris? I'm about to.
What up, Chris? That's what I was born into. So, usually when I do the warm it up Chris question of the day, by the way, again, those of you who are listening at home, try to say warm it up Chris question.
3 times fast. So
and
hard.
It is so difficult.
Warm it up quiz question.
Usually we're having to do like 3 or 4 takes on this, so hopefully I'll be all right. Anyway, but going back to the question, so warm it up Chris questions are kind of hard because one, you want to have it where it's fun and humorous, but also you don't want to make it a question that belongs actually in the show. This is something that should not belong in the show whatsoever. So I dug hard, I dug deep, and Jonathan and Ben, when I'm at, I'm putting Ben to sleep right now, so I need to warm this up a little bit better here. I'm going to be asking you world capitals.
Wah, wah, wah.
But they're not the kind of world capitals that you're thinking of. So I'm going to give you guys 5 cities. All right?
Okay.
The first city is Beaver, Oklahoma. Beaver, Oklahoma. So the next one, guys, is Castroville, California. Castroville, California.
Okay.
The third one is La Crosse, Kansas.
So these are more like U.S. capitals.
Oh, no. We're getting there.
Okay.
The next one, Bardstown, Kentucky. Bardstown, Kentucky. And I said 5. I'm going to give you 6, so forgive me. Next one is Anoka, Minnesota. A-N-O-K-A, Minnesota. And the last one is near your hometown, Jonathan. It's Claxton, Georgia. Claxton,
Georgia. So those are all in the U.S.?
Yep.
Well, why'd you say world capitals?
Well, you're just going to have to
find out.
It's
the word of the United States.
Okay. So, gentlemen, first what I want you to do is I want, out of those cities that I just gave you, I want you to tell me which of those cities is the Halloween capital of the world. Which one is the Halloween capital of the world?
Oh, I see what you did there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Next question.
So, are we guessing after each one?
Yes, I would like you to guess after each one.
Oh, sure. Okay.
That's why I gave you the names of the cities.
So I'm going to pull a Jonathan here and do some game theory.
All right.
Already?
Okay, take a drink, everybody.
All right, so game theory tells me that a place that is the Halloween capital of the world is probably a place where fall festivals and harvests are important and factor into the culture of that place more than other places. Seeing as it's still 90 degrees in Halloween in Georgia, I'm thinking it's probably not Georgia. So I'm actually going to guess La Crosse, Kansas.
I'm going Claxton, Georgia.
All right. You both are wrong. Anoka, Minnesota. The trademark title comes from the town's claim that it threw its first town-wide Halloween celebration in 1920 because it was tired of finding cows roaming Main Street, windows scraped, and outhouses tipped over, and they wanted to give the residents of Anoka something to do on Halloween besides tear crap up.
Wow.
Wow.
Yes, and that was 1920. Mm-hmm. All right, so gentlemen, the next one, the bourbon capital of the world.
Ugh.
Bourbon.
I'm going Bardstown, Kentucky.
Me too.
Got to be Kentucky.
Correct. The residents of Bardstown are protective of that title that they even registered the phrase. Making the stuff since 1776, the area produces 69% of the world's bourbon. Wow.
If I'm not mistaken, all bourbon is made in Kentucky.
Yeah.
I think it is.
And
because it's called Kentucky bourbon.
Yeah.
Right. I'm thinking, but Tennessee makes one of them, right?
Jim Tennessee Beam whiskey.
Whiskey. That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's
bourbon
Jack
is a
Daniels.
Type of whiskey, but it's a special whiskey.
Yeah. Okay. The next one, guys, is the fruit cake capital of the world. The fruit cake capital of the world. Can you imagine Michael Buffer's in the fruit cake capital of the world?
I'm going Claxton, Georgia again. I'm thinking friendly Georgians. They like giving each other fruitcakes.
Yeah, I'm going Georgia.
Going 2 for 3, guys. Correct. Claxton, Georgia. Two bakeries pump out more than, get this, 4 million pounds of fruitcakes in Claxton every single year.
Holy.
That's a lot of fruitcake.
Yeah.
Yeah. They last 6 months at room temperature and twice as long refrigerated.
Whoa.
Fruitcakes in the morning time.
Okay.
Cakes all around.
This might be my favorite capital, and this is the second to the last one, guys, for you.
I'm betting it's Beaver.
Cow chip throwing capital of the world.
I'm sticking with Beaver. Beaver, Colorado.
It's Oklahoma.
Oh, was it Oklahoma?
Yes, it's Oklahoma.
I'm still saying Beaver.
I'm going with Beaver.
Beaver, Oklahoma is correct.
Hey, you're
3 for 4.
Me. You say it first next time.
I will.
In preparation for their annual competition in April, the folks of Beaver collect, flatten, and dry cow poop into frisbee-shaped size throwing chips. No points for style or choreography, only distance.
Do they wear gloves?
I hope so. No, Lord knows I would.
They probably don't.
I'm sickened by this.
All right, guys.
Can you imagine they just like throw a bunch of cow poop on a road, have a big thing drive over it to flatten it, and then carve out little circles like with a like with a biscuit tin?
Oh, gosh.
Sorry, biscuits.
Oh, man, that's a crap load of fun, though.
Oh, I see.
All right, so your last one, guys, is the barbed wire capital of the world.
We have two left.
We have to pick between two cities.
Right, I'm not going to
get... Oh.
Yes. Thank you, Ben. The barbed wire capital of the world.
All right, so game theory again. Barbed wire is made out of metal, obviously. So this would be a place where they produce a lot of barbed wire. I know that there is a federal prison in Kansas, so I'm going to go with Kansas.
I'm going with Kansas because they have a lot of cattle, and barbed wire is typically used to keep cattle in and keep people out.
The federal prison is Leavenworth, Kansas,
yep.
And the answer is La Crosse, Kansas. Correct. Nice job, you guys. Bouncing back after that horrible director's question. La Crosse is home to the Barbed Wire Museum. Regardless, its collection contains 2,000 different samples of barbed wire, as well as fence posts, books, and educational films.
Wow.
I think I'd rather do anything else in the world than see an educational film on barbed wire. All right. And just to let you know, Castroville, California is the artichoke capital of the world.
All right. How about that?
Yep. So that is your warming up, Chris, question of the episode.
Well done, sir. That Thank was you. Better than I thought it was going to be.
I try. I promise. I actually do think these things through.
All right, Ben. Let's get rolling. Real game. Round one, question one.
The name of this book that we've been taking the questions from is the 5-Star Trivia Quiz Book by Rich Meyer. All right, round one, question one. What restaurant chain was promoted by sweet old lady Clara Peller, who chanted their questioning slogan over and over throughout 1984?
Well, first, the slogan was...
Where's the beef?
And the answer is 3, 2, 1, Wendy's.
That's correct.
That crazy redhead all over again. And by the way,
I don't remember her being a redhead. I thought she was a little white-haired lady.
Well, yeah, but Wendy's.
Oh, Wendy's the redhead. Gotcha.
But again, I have to ask this because I talked to you about this at another time. When did Wendy's become the worst fast food restaurant in the world?
Oh, I think Hardee's got that.
Oh, that's hard to argue with.
Okay, Hardee's
love their advertisements though.
But man, I tell you, they're a gut bomb waiting to happen every time you eat there. That's true.
But back to Wendy's though, they used to have really good thick fries that had crispy outside, and they were usually pretty hot. I mean, they would cook it on the grill right there, not the griddle. It would be a flat surface, but they used to be really fresh feeling and tasting, and now. It Not feels so like the burger's been sitting, and the fries are almost always soggy and no good. The texture's terrible.
I have a lot of redeeming value for Wendy's because, you know, the baked potatoes actually are good.
Okay.
And no matter how many times you tell me that the chili is made from yesterday's hamburgers, I'm still going to eat it because it tastes amazing.
So Not necessarily yesterday's value. Hamburgers. Actually, the scraps that they shave off the edges of the grill. That's the meat.
So that's fine. Well, it still tastes great.
But my frustration with Wendy's, though, is the customer service portion of it. Customer service has dropped off dramatically. Now, the interesting part is I worked at Chick-fil-A for 10 years while I was in high school and in college. And Dave Thomas and True Kathy, who's the owner of Chick-fil-A, Dave Thomas was the founder of Wendy's. They were best friends growing up.
Were they really?
Yeah, they were very, very close.
And I had no idea.
They used each other to kind of talk about business strategies and stuff like that and what have you. And really, when Dave Thomas was alive was really when their customer service was so good. But when he died... And I guess it went off to a company or maybe another company bought them. I don't know the history of it.
Yeah.
But it's interesting how their customer service model went way down.
And the quality went down. You're 100% right. It happened when Dave died.
Yeah. And it's just – and that's a shame because it's like they had great food. They were like my favorite fast food restaurant next to Chick-fil-A to go to.
Yeah.
And by the way, worked there for 10 years, still love eating at Chick-fil-A to this day. So that says something right there.
You know the other one that really, really dropped the ball that was good and now is not so good? Burger King.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Once upon a time, they used to take the uncooked meat, put it on one side of a rolling flame grill, and it would take a minute to a minute and a half for your burger to be ready, but it would literally cook over this grill. It would slide off. They'd put it on your burger. You'd have a hot, fresh burger, and it was the best one in the business at the time.
And it tasted like a flame-grilled burger should taste.
Now, that grill is nowhere to be seen. You don't see them cook the meat at all. It's heated up in the back in the microwave, and it's never hot when you get it. It's never fresh. Fast food in general has declined in quality significantly in the last few years.
And not just quality of food, but quality and just personnel that's working there. It's very frustrating.
Wendy's is a specific example, but I don't think Burger King ever had like awesome people.
Okay.
So I have a funny story funny joke about Chick-fil-A. I always tell people, if you're going to somebody's house, this is poor GPS, and they say, you know, turn right at the Chick-fil-A, that's a sign that you're probably in a decent neighborhood. If your friend says, turn left at the Church's Chicken, good sign you're probably not in a decent neighborhood.
That's so wrong. It's so funny all the same time.
You're right. So right.
All right.
All right.
So How about the second question?
Yeah, we both got 10 points for that
one. Hey, we started off right here.
Well, all right. You started off right. I typically start off right.
Wow. Man.
Bazinga.
Lord. All
right. So, round one, question two is going to be in music.
Okay.
What was the name of the country rock band that was formed by Jerry Garcia in 1971?
Really? It can't be.
It's the only one I can think of.
Yeah.
3-2-1? Or do you want to think about it a little bit more?
I'm scared of doing 3-2-1s now.
He's been jaded.
That's the answer I'm going with.
All right, so...
We're kind of looking at each other. We're both thinking the same band because it's Jerry Garcia, but well, neither one of us would qualify them as country or rock.
I'd call them a jam band. Exactly right. Three, two, one. The Grateful Dead.
That is incorrect, fellas.
Yeah, that's what we figured.
Yeah, we figured that.
The answer is the New Riders of the Purple Sage.
I've actually heard of them, but I can't place a song at all.
That's because they probably sucked.
Just because you haven't heard of somebody does not mean that they suck.
Oh, yes. They put out years worth of quality music that we've never heard of. What is the likelihood, my friend? What is the likelihood?
I really wish I had more hair so I could just pull it out of my skull when I talk to you about stuff like that.
I just don't know why you assume that something must have been good when it wasn't successful.
I'm not assuming that something was good. I'm just assuming that it wasn't sucky like you always seem to assume was something that you haven't heard of.
If it didn't make it, then why would I assume it was good?
We don't know if they made it. It was 71. Last time I checked, I was 6 years from coming out of my mother... Or excuse me. Okay, that was my sister was 6 years out of my mother's womb. I was 3 years out of my mother's womb before that happened.
So, have you ever heard of the Beatles? Have you ever heard of the Supremes? Elvis Presley,
that's
perhaps?
Some of the biggest acts in the world, dude.
Okay, I've never heard of them.
Round one, question three is in history.
Great.
What country was Julius Caesar referring to when he uttered the immortal, "I came, I saw, I conquered"?
Do you want the current name or the ancient name?
I'll accept either.
Okay, I'm locking in.
Of course you are.
We came, we saw, we kicked its butt. You remember what movie that was?
I'm trying to remember.
Oh, it's Ghostbusters.
Really, dude? I could have gotten it in a minute or so.
You're supposed to be using your brain power on Julius Caesar right now.
I haven't watched that in 25 years. So there's no way I would have got that.
That was when they're walking out at the end of the... At the end, it's either at the end of the movie after they beat Zool or after Slimer. Now,
you're going to cut this out of the show too for obvious reasons. But if you had quoted anything from The Color Purple or Coming to America, I would have instantly got it because every black person over 30 has seen both of those movies 50 times.
You told Harpo to beat me. Wow. All my life I had to fight. I had to fight my daddy. I had to fight my brothers. I had to fight my uncles.
Okay, can we continue on with the show, please?
Yes, please.
You guys are both scared.
Would you like for me to repeat the question?
We probably should because we went off the rails again.
What country was Julius Caesar referring to when he uttered the immortal, "I came, I saw, I conquered"?
Okay, so, and you're locked in.
I've already written it down.
Okay, that's all you had to do is say, yes, I'm locked in. Anyway, okay, so, oh man, this is so, I mean, I don't know why this is hard for me because it's like, I know the story around Julius Caesar, but I don't know much of anything else with it. And that part really kind of stinks. I'm going to say a very wrong Macedonia.
Okay. I said Gaul.
So the answer that I have here is Turkey. And
what?
Yes.
Really?
That's the answer I have. Turkey.
Really?
Yes. We can challenge it if you want.
I want to double check it. Gaul is the north country. It's another word for France. And I was certain that it was Gaul.
The Gaul of you.
Okay. Small hilltop town in the Tokat province of northern Turkey.
Yeah, and the interesting thing reading it on the battle, Julius Caesar had 11,000 soldiers against their 20,000, and it was a decisive Roman victory even though they were outnumbered.
Wow.
Well, yeah, but they had Julius Caesar with them.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I've played him on video games before where he can shoot stuff out of his hands. I'm just kidding. I don't even know that's true. I am stunned. I truthfully thought that was over the Gaul, the Gallic people. So
the Gaul of Gaul.
Yes, I've been schooled there.
All right. Next question.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's the end of the first round. It is 10-10 after the first round.
So round two, question one, is in, let's call it history.
Okay.
Let's do that.
What country was the first to institute an income tax upon its citizenry, in this case to fund military action against Napoleon?
Oh, okay. That's okay, interesting.
Say that question again, please.
What country was the first to institute an income tax upon its citizenry, in this case to fund military action against Napoleon?
All right, I'm locked in, Jonathan.
I'm having a hard time remembering anything at this moment, which sucks. I know that he lost. I don't even remember the name of the battle he lost in anymore. But he lost to the Duke of Wellington in whatever the name of that battle was.
Waterloo.
What? Thank you. God, why the heck wasn't I able to think of that?
Come on, man. Waterloo was a big part of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Oh, you're right. Wasn't that the name of, like, the water park or something?
Yes, that's where they found him at Waterloo.
That's genius. Bill and Ted, that's an underappreciated movie.
It really is.
Love that movie.
San Dimas High School football rules.
Waterloo is in Belgium, if I'm not crazy. But that was an army that was made up of multiple countries, and so I can't pick just any old country there. The one country where Napoleon really got his butt handed to him was Russia. So I'm going to just go out on a limb. I'm thinking either Russia or Great Britain. I'm going to go with Russia.
Okay. I was toiling around with England, Spain, but I ultimately went with Italy. Italy's my answer.
Correct answer is Great Britain.
Dang it! The obvious one.
Man.
The obvious one. Boo.
Hiss.
Boo.
Hiss.
Boo?
Hiss.
All right. So your second question in round two is entertainment.
Okay.
What was the title of the first song performed in the Talking Heads concert movie Stop Making Sense?
I've written my answer down so you can talk.
Oh, really?
I don't think it's right, but it's the only Talking Heads song I know.
You may ask yourself. Because you're thinking the Weird Al song. You may.
This is not my beautiful stapler.
Actually, and then there was, I think it was, I'm not sure if it was Weird Al or Saturday Night Live, where it was like, you may ask yourself, why am I wearing such a big suit?
Wow, no.
Okay.
I don't know anything about that.
Actually, I think this song was Stop Making Sense. So, I'm going to go with the title of the movie.
The only Talking Heads song I know is Burning Down the House. So, I said Burning Down the House.
Correct answer is Psycho Killer.
Okey dokey. Never heard of it.
I'm a little scared of listening to more Talking Heads songs.
True. Terrible. We're sucking right now.
10 to 10 still?
It's still 10 to 10, yeah. Going into the third question of round two.
Wow.
All right, so your last question in the round is in sports.
Ben, make us seem smarter. Come on, help us out here.
There's no helping with that.
What college football legend was known as the Galloping Ghost?
Okay, I'm locked in.
Okay, so there's...
It's one of those things, you've heard it.
Yeah, it's one of those where I'm going to feel bad if I miss it. So I know that I feel like Red Grange, is that the dude's name? Red somebody. Red Barber? Red, I'm going to say it. Okay, so I feel like it could be this Red guy, Red Grange, I think his name is. But Ghost makes me think of, like, the Ghost part of his name could have been derived from the name Casper. And I know that there's a Casper, I don't know if his name's Dave or something like that, but I'm going to guess it's Casper. And I feel like it's going to be the Red guy that I can't think of his name. But my answer is Casper.
Okay. Red Barber, just to let you know, was the legendary announcer before Vince Scully did the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Thank you for that.
Not a problem. So that's where you're probably getting his. But his name was Red Grange.
Yep. This is Red Grange.
Doggone it. Who is Dave Casper?
I don't know.
He played for the Raiders.
He has a ghostly nickname.
I don't know if his nickname was Ghost, but I know that there was a game called Ghost to the Post where he ran a post route and caught a touchdown and win the game.
Nice. Was it a friendly ghost?
I guess.
Well, his name was Casper.
His nickname is just the Ghost, Dave Casper. So I outsmarted myself. That was a
per the usual.
That was a classic case of overthinking.
Mm. But good job at remembering Red Barber, though.
Yeah, which had nothing to do with the question, unfortunately.
Yeah, but...
So after two rounds, Jonathan is losing 10 to 20.
Or Chris is winning 20 to 10.
That's one way of saying it.
Well, that's the proper way of saying it. The losers go step to the back.
I'm supposed to be the jerk around here.
Chris is doing a heel turn right now.
I
see this happening.
All right, so next question.
Round three, question one is in television. Brett Summers and Charles Nelson Reilly are perhaps best remembered for their biting quips on what popular afternoon TV game show?
I got it.
Yeah, 3, 2, 1. Hollywood Squares.
Oh, Match Game.
Is it Match Game?
You did it again.
But I got it right this time.
It's the Match Game.
Nice.
Yes.
Very cool.
Charles Nelson Reilly was the dude in the top right corner for like 8 or 9 years.
Yeah. And he smoked.
Smoked a pipe on the show with his ascot.
And they also had the guy that sat down in the middle. He was the host of Family Feud forever, Richard Dawson.
Richard Dawson was in the middle bottom next to Betty White for a number of seasons. Yeah, Betty White was on the show too.
Yeah,
There was a pretty constant cast for 2 or 3 years, and then they started switching it up.
Cycling people out.
Yeah.
Nice.
Radar was on there for a season, I think. Whatever his name is, Radar from MASH.
Crap.
I want to say Radar or Reilly, but Riley's his name on the show. Can't think of his name. It'll be in the show notes at trivialwarfare.com. What was the host name? Gene Rayburn.
Okay.
That was Gene Rayburn. Man. That's my favorite old-time game show.
I was going to say, it sounds an awful lot like Hollywood Squares, because you're saying the upper and left and the right and the center.
Well, there's just two lines. Two lines of three.
Oh, okay.
That was a cool show. There's all kinds of innuendos in that show.
Oh, it was awesome.
All right, so your next question is in movies.
Okay.
The motion picture Coal Miner's Daughter was based on the life of what performer?
The names that are floating around in my head are all wrong. It's a very specific person that I'm trying to find in there. I'm not going to get it. I'm going to write an answer and just be wrong.
I know this answer, but it's not coming to me, which kind of stinks. Sissy Spacek was the starred in Coal Miner's Daughter. She actually has done some current work. She was just at the local theater in Jacksonville, Florida, the Florida Theater, a couple months ago. She did an album a couple years ago with Jack White of the White Stripes.
You talking about Sissy Spacek?
No, I'm talking about this person that I cannot think of her name to save my life right now. No, this is all related around the question. Like I said, I know who it is, but the name has just left the building in my brain, which really, really stinks because it's Lynn or... See, Leanne Womack keeps coming to my head, but I know it's not Leanne Womack because you just figured out who it is too, didn't you? Because you just give a frowny face.
I feel like the answer that just popped in my head is a lot better than the one I wrote down.
Mm. Crud. Man, I almost just want to say uncle and let Ben put me out of my misery. But she has super long hair. She's a very older, graceful lady now. I'm going to remember that part, but I cannot remember her name at all. Lynn... It's not coming. All right. I'm tapping out. I don't know.
So I wrote down Dolly Parton, which I'm sure is wrong. Is it Loretta Lynn?
Daggummit.
It is Loretta Lynn.
As soon as you said Lynn, that's the name that popped in my head. And I was like, that sounds right.
Dang it. I should have said Lynn. You just used the last name rule.
You really should have. Yeah. That would have been right.
Yeah. Man.
That was the sound of Chris hitting the table.
Ugh. I hate it when it's there.
I know exactly what you mean, because as soon as you... I knew that in my heart, I knew the answer too, but I was a lot farther away from it than you were.
Yeah.
But as soon as you said Lynn, it's like, there it is, right there.
Yeah, I just... because I kept thinking it was her first name and not her last name, and that's what was tripping me up.
Yep. You were never going to find it using Lynn as the first name.
Yeah.
The last question before our midpoint is in food.
All right.
I eat food.
Yeah. You understand a minute why I asked you this question.
Publix?
Chicken.
Publix chicken.
Why has it got to be chicken? Why does it have to be
chicken? You brought the chicken.
Because we've been talking about Publix fried chicken all day today.
The question is, what candy bar should you eat if you sometimes feel like a nut?
Oh. All right, I'll write it down.
And it does help if you sing the song.
No.
Shut up. What's wrong with you?
I was doing it anyway.
Doesn't matter. Shut up.
All right. I've got mine written down too, so go ahead and say yours.
I said Almond Joy.
Yeah, Almond Joy. I almost said Mounds, and then I was like, no, you idiot. It's not Mound. Almond Joy's got nuts.
Almond Joy's got nuts. Mounds don't.
Exactly. Almond Joy.
Therefore, Almond Joy is man, and Mounds is women, which I'd never thought of, but... It fits, doesn't it?
Remember, your niece is listening.
No, but I'm saying, I never thought of that, but Mounds, why else call it Mounds?
Yeah.
Doesn't have nuts.
Yeah, good point.
Interesting. Innuendos hidden in our chocolates.
Yes, all over the place.
All right, go to the halftime. What's the point total so far?
We have a tie game. It's 30-30.
Wow, we suck.
No, it's just that your defense is really good.
That's really good.
I like the way you're looking at things, Ben.
That is awesome.
All right. Speaking of defense, so your midpoint category is going to be in natural disasters.
Oh, crud.
Typhoon and earthquake. The natural disasters.
Nice.
Yes. Not those natural disasters.
Don't.
So hurricanes are by far my personal favorite natural disasters because you have days to prepare for them or get away from them. But they can cost lives, as we've seen, as well as billions of dollars in damage.
Well, I'll be very honest with you. I don't have a favorite natural disaster thing.
Yes, I'm partial to volcanoes. I think they're beautiful, actually.
Because they're far away also?
Well, yeah, that too. But I love studying volcanoes and looking at them and seeing pictures.
See, I have
City of Pompeii would be very frustrated with you.
I have an equal fascination of hurricanes. I enjoy watching how they form and the barometric pressure and how it drops and the speeds and stuff like that. I just don't want it to hit my house that I just bought.
I'm with you.
So they can cause lots of damage. So what I want you to do is name four of the top six most damaging hurricanes to make U.S. landfall in terms of uninflated dollars. So in terms of billions of uninflated dollars.
Okay. Actually, what was the year? What was the last year? Was it as of 2015, 2016, or 2016?
Yeah, this would be as of 2014.
Okay. As of 2016, a year that hasn't gotten here
no,
yet.
No, I thought you were asking what's the last year of the hurricane, last hurricane. I'm like, you can't say that.
You understand what I meant now, though. Yeah. All right.
I'm locked in.
Give me one more minute.
I actually wrote one down and scratched it off immediately to put a better one on.
I'm pretty sure my first three answers are right on the button. It's just it's this fourth one. I'm trying to remember what the name of it was, and I'm having a hard time doing it. So it's the one that hit Charleston numbers of years ago that basically wiped out the whole Charleston, South Carolina, North Carolina coast.
I know exactly which one you're talking about.
I got it. Okay. All right. So I'm all set. Yeah.
So it's funny that you mentioned that. That's actually the one I scratched out at the end.
No kidding. Okay.
Yes. So that one was Hugo. It was like in 91 or 92 or something.
Actually,
like
no,
that
wasn't. That's not the one I was thinking about, as a matter of fact.
Well, Hugo did hit Charleston and wipe it out.
Yeah.
I went with Katrina, Andrew, Ivan, and the last one, if I got it wrong, it's because they stopped qualifying it as a hurricane. They called it a superstorm, but I went with Sandy.
Okay.
As my fourth.
Okay. Actually, I went three out of the four. I went Katrina, Andrew, and Sandy also. Those were the ones I thought of right off the bat. And as far as I was concerned, they kept calling Hurricane Sandy, Hurricane Sandy.
Everybody started calling it Superstorm.
Yeah. And then the one I thought of that hit the Charleston coast, which was back in the 60s, was Hurricane Dora.
Oh, okay.
So, but the only problem is
uninflated
is that
dollars.
That's exactly right. And so, but I want, I mean, figured I'd take a chance.
Ivan is the one that was part of the four in a row that came through Florida.
Yeah.
And it went up into the States and came back around again.
Yeah. It was Ivan and then Charlie. And then there was there was a D one.
Janine.
Yeah.
There was Charlie, Francis, Gene, and Ivan.
Yeah. All right. So what are the correct answers?
So, I'm just going to list them down. Number one, obviously was Katrina, $125 billion. 05. Number two was Sandy, $71 billion in 2012. Number three was Hurricane Ike in 08, $37 billion.
Wow.
Number four is Wilma, $29 billion in 05. Number five was Andrew at $26 billion in 92.
How deep did you go? How many were?
Six.
Six. Oh, good.
And then the sixth one is Hurricane Ivan.
Yeah!
In 04.
So I got 20 and you got 15, I think.
Yep.
That means it's 45.
I was going to say, dude,
I was told there would be no math.
And you're proving that right now.
All right. So your first question in round four is in animals.
Aminal.
What is the common collective name for a group of peacocks?
A crap load of peacocks. Actually, it's kind of funny. The church I used to work for, St. George's, around Fort George Island, there's a ton of peacocks around there. I'm going to write in an answer. All right, I'm locked in. So, talk it out, bro.
So, we know that scientists have fun with these, and they take traits of the animals and use that for the name. Like my personal favorite is owls. They're called a parliament of owls because they're like respected old men with monocles and stuff. So peacocks are thought to be vain, and so it could be a pride of peacocks. But there's a word coming to my head that's going to sound stupid if it's wrong, and it may very well be stupid, but it's in there, and so I should go with it. My answer is going to be a shimmering of peacocks.
Interesting.
If I'm wrong, I made it up.
I'm kind of rooting for you here because that's really unique. I've heard them call a gaggle of peacocks. I know it's a gaggle of geese, but I've heard that also a peacock, so that's just what I'm going with.
All right, the correct answer is a muster.
Which makes no sense whatsoever.
Really? Muster.
So there are multiple names for a lot of these. Do you mind if I look up the others?
Absolutely.
Maybe they're just tastier with mustard. No? Okay. I tried.
So, one of the ones that... It's an ostentation of peacocks.
Okay.
Because they're ostentatious. But there are others here. Let's see what else we have.
I forget what ostentatious even means. It means shy?
Prideful.
Oh, prideful.
Gotcha. Like show off.
Well, they have really
okay.
pretty
feathers. Peacocks. We have a muster, an ostentation, and a pride. Those are the three that
you could have gone.
Right.
You could have gone with pride.
Could have gone with pride. Doggone it.
I want to know what a shimmer is now.
Let's see if there's a shimmer of anything. Nope, there's no shimmering. I made that up.
All right. Well, you didn't make it up. You just thought.
No, I made it up, apparently.
All right. Ben, what's the next question?
All right. Love that question. I love group animal questions, by the way. Those are some of my favorites.
All right. So round four, question two is going to be in people.
Well, people are people, so why can't we
see? I mean, I could say entertainment.
People's
just
good?
I'm just going to read the question.
That's what we brought you here for.
Yeah.
That's what we're paying you the big money for.
Yep. And you're paying me double today what you paid me last week. What comedic actor best known for his work on the sitcom Get Smart,
brilliant,
hosted a 1975 game show in which random contestants would act out scenes from famous movies?
I don't know that guy's name. You said it was a guy from Get Smart?
Yes.
All right, locked in.
And the show, his name was Maxwell Smart. And it's not Leslie Nielsen. That's the other guy who did funny cop shows. I do not know the guy's name, so I'm tapping out.
All right. It was Inspector Gadget himself, Don Adams.
That's correct, Don Adams.
What do you mean Inspector Gadget himself?
He was the voice of Inspector Gadget.
Was he really?
Yeah.
How about that?
Yep.
That's cool.
That's pretty cool.
Because when they created Inspector Gadget, they wanted to have a Don Adams-style, get Maxwell Smart kind of guy in the role, and... He did it.
It doesn't make sense because when I hear him in my head say, missed it by that much. Like, that is totally
that is
Inspector Gadget's
You're
voice.
Right.
All right. So, last question around four is in music. What popular 1986 song tells the story of Tommy and Gina and their cliche-laden struggles for survival in the modern world?
Okay. I got my answers locked in.
Okay. So, originally, the first thing I thought of was Jack and Diane.
I thought that too.
That can't be right. That's Jack and Diane. Then I thought really hard about Scenes from an Italian Restaurant by Billy Joel. But that was Brenda and Eddie. So that couldn't be Tommy and
nice.
Gina.
Nice. Brenda and Eddie.
Right. Then I realized Tommy used to work on the docks. It's Living on a Prayer.
That's exactly right. Living on a Prayer. And do you remember the sequel that they did a few years later?
No.
To the song? It's called It's My Life.
Do you have it written down, by the way?
Living yes. on a Prayer, yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I apologize. Yep,
that's anyway. A great answer.
Yeah.
So It's My Life is a sequel to that song?
Yeah, because...
I didn't know that.
Because he goes back and talks about Tommy and Gina surviving off the docks, so...
I didn't know that. Yeah. I never heard that part of it.
Is that the end of the round?
It is the end of the round, and at the end of the round, the score is 65 for Chris and 60 for Jonathan.
Ooh, intriguing. Round five. Your first question of the round is cartoons.
Excellent.
Smithers.
Your question is, what rootin' tootin' character debuted in the 1945 cartoon Hair Trigger?
3, 2, 1?
Sure.
3, 2, 1. Bugs Bunny.
Sam.
Ah.
Wow, this is happening all over the place now. All
right. Y'all should just stop doing
it. It's got to be Yosemite Sam.
It's got to be Yosemite Sam. Not to mention that. I was listening to Hair Trigger and choked.
Oh, yeah, but I'm sure it had Bugs Bunny in it, which is where the hair would come from.
Yeah, I just choked on it.
So what was it?
It was Yosemite Sam. Yeah.
Ooh, I'm the rootinest, tootinest. My favorite character. Because he could take his guns and shoot them into the ground and propel himself. That was like the coolest thing ever, man.
If I'm not crazy, I could be crazy, but I feel like he is a character in Roger Rabbit at one point, and this is the line he said. Ooh, my biscuits are burning. My biscuits are burning. Fire in the hole.
Yep.
Green horny toads. That's smart.
You're 100% right.
That was in Roger Rabbit?
Yeah.
Oh, it's such a great moment. I got to get that in the show notes. I hope it's out there in a clip for me.
Nice.
Yeah, we're going to have to stop doing the 3-2-1s. All of a sudden, we're not on the same page anymore.
Question 2 in round 5 is in literature.
I love it.
What author used the pen name of Mary Westmacott?
Oh, wow.
Really?
I have no earthly idea, dude.
Mary Westmacott? Could you spell Westmacott for me?
Westmacott is Westmacott.
I mean, I'm going to take a guess. But
I'm uncling, so.
Oh, you're 100% uncle.
I have no idea.
Okay, so I can talk?
Yeah, go ahead. Which sucks.
Most times women take men's names because they were less likely to be successful writers as a woman in certain periods of time. So to take a female pen name would indicate it's probably a female writer, and that would mean they're just doing it because they don't want to be known, they're shy about using their own name or whatever the reason is. But so I'm going to just take a stab in the dark at somebody I didn't know might have had a pen name, but it rhymes, and so it's got that going for it. I'm going to say Louisa May Alcott.
J.K. Rowling recently had her murder detective series come out, and she went under the pen name Robert Gilbreth or something like that, which is female to male, but I have no idea about
this. Why in the world would she do that?
She wanted to be judged on her own writing merits as opposed to being because it's J.K. Rowling.
Right, and that was because she had a book called The Casual Vacancy that came out that was just deadpan. Also, it was a bad book, but it was just critics hated it, people hated it.
Everybody knows that's the name you're using. Isn't it kind of...
No, it was a secret.
Oh, yeah. A secret.
Okay. And it got blown.
Yeah, one of the...
And it's really actually disturbing that she wanted to... And its first review before they knew it was her... was like, hey, this is a promising new writer to pay attention to.
Yeah.
And then somebody blew her cover. Yeah. It's a real shame.
Yeah, one of the people in the publishing company blew it because the book wasn't selling as well as they wanted it to.
And she has plenty of money. It's not like she needs the money. Right. She wanted validation. She
loves it. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the answer to the question is Agatha Christie.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah. Which why to me sounds like a pen name.
What name?
I know, but why would she want
Mary
to do
Westmacott?
Yeah.
Wow.
Why would she want to do that?
I know, Agatha Christie, such a good name, but I mean, how many Agathas are running around nowadays?
True.
Chris, right. If you have a daughter, I want you to name her Agatha.
I'll talk to Angie about that.
All right, so the second question in the fifth round is in...
Third, actually.
Yeah, it's third.
It's the third question.
Yes, Yosemite Sam was the first one.
Oh, okay. I skipped all over Yosemite, because I didn't see him because he was short.
Son, I say. Oh, wait, no, that's a different one.
That's Foghorn Leghorn.
Son, I say, son. So the third question is U.S. history.
Okay.
What were the names of the two Washington Post reporters that broke the story that became the presidential scandal known as Watergate?
Okay. Let's write it down because we've been goofing up the ones and threes, but I think we got this one.
Actually, I got to think about them for a second. They're not jumping right into my head.
All right. You can talk about it in 2 seconds.
That 2 seconds was all I needed to figure it out. It's Woodward and Bernstein.
Yep. Woodward and Bernstein.
That is correct.
I knew it was in there. I just needed it to pop in to the front.
Also, All the President's Men was a very famous movie about that account. Do you, by chance, remember the two actors that played that?
Never saw it.
Okay.
Redford was one of them, right?
Robert Redford was one. Paul Newman? Dustin Hoffman was the other one.
After the fifth round, things are back in their rightful order. Jonathan is winning 80-75.
Ooh.
I don't know if that's the rightful order, but...
First question of sixth round is in sports.
Sports!
Who was named the most valuable player of Super Bowl III?
It's got to be that guy.
All right, I'm locked in.
I'm going with Joe Namath.
Yep, that's what I went with.
Joe Namath.
That's one. If you overthink that one, It's yeah. like, God, is there anybody else on that team you know the name of?
I know, right? Willie Joe Namath.
The only way you miss it is if you don't remember what teams played in it.
Yeah, that's true. Yep. Broadway Joe.
All right, so your next question in round six is in economics. What was the name of the 2012 Republican presidential hopeful who espoused the 999 tax reform plan?
Let's say this again, please.
Oh, no. What's his name?
What was the name of the 2012 Republican presidential hopeful who espoused the 999 tax reform plan?
What's his name?
I don't know if I should think about the question or just watch the pain Jonathan's in right now, because that's very entertaining.
While I was finishing my master's program, I wrote an essay about the 999 tax program and the impacts that it would have on the American economy.
You're going to tap out?
No, I'm gonna say a name. I'm just okay. going to be wrong.
Yeah, I'm going to write a name too.
What if I can find that this person supported it but may not have been the guy?
No. It's not the guy.
I mean, there's only one name for the answer. So.
Yeah, but you're saying this presidential candidate supported it. There might have been more than one.
Doubtful.
Yeah, you do have a point there. The question could have been... So espoused lends to me that they weren't just supporting it, that they actually came up with it.
Mm. All right, did you write down your answer?
I did. Go ahead.
I said Herman Cain, but I don't think I
That's who I was thinking of, as a matter of fact, and couldn't remember his name at all, so I just wrote the front runner, Mitt Romney.
Correct answer is Herman Cain.
Yes! Nice job. Yes! Woo!
I could see that crazy in my head, but I could not remember
crazy?
His name.
And didn't he drop out because there was a scandal with a woman
yeah.
that he was paying? Or
yeah.
He said he wasn't having an affair with her.
I did not have relations with that woman.
Yeah, he wasn't doing anything with her, but he just was giving her a lot of money for some reason.
Yeah, sure. Oh, okay. My goodness. His name was the one in my head the whole time, but I was just looking for reasons for it not to be him because I felt like there was another one that was more... In fact, when I was thinking of... I think he supported it, but I don't know if he was the guy who really pushed it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's why I was looking for outs.
Good job, man.
Thank you.
So the last question is in the category of literature.
Nice finish.
What was the title of the pivotal Arthur Conan Doyle story in which Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson first met?
Who is Sherlock Holmes?
Did I say Sir? You know what it... Okay, so when I'm reading this, one eye is being blocked by the thing. So I'm reading with one eye. That's why I've been having so much trouble reading this.
Okay, Sherlock.
Sherlock. Oh, it's an English... I'm an English locksmith. My name is Sherlock. Sir Lock
Scottish.
Sir Lock Chains. You might know my sister, Allison.
Nice.
All right. So, to reread the question, what was the title of the pivotal Arthur Conan Doyle story in which Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson first met?
All right, I'm locked in.
There's a few that's coming into my head. I think it's Hound of the Baskervilles, but... There's a TV series that Benedict Cumberbatch is in called Sherlock, and that's on BBC, and then BBC America plays it also. Actually, I take it back. I think it's PBS. And their first one, which is an update of the Sherlock stories, but it still does the Sherlock stories, it's something with a color, and I can't remember what the original color was. It was like the Red Room or something, or she wore red or something like that. So, unfortunately, and I think this is the wrong answer, I'm going with Hound of the Baskervilles.
So, I don't watch the show or anything like that. I know that Hound of the Baskervilles was the first Sherlock Holmes story.
Right.
And the other ones, there was a red something that was coming into my head, too, and I can't think of what the red thing is either. The other one I could think of was the Purloined Letter.
Mm.
But I went with the Hound of the Baskervilles.
Yeah.
The correct answer is A Study in Scarlet.
Oh, that's the red.
That's right, because the TV series, the name of it was called A Study in Pink.
That's why I couldn't get it to come into my head, because I was thinking the red something and not The Study
Scarlet.
In Scarlet.
Yeah.
That's a good question. I like that one.
Yeah. All right, so going into the final, you're up, but by how much?
I have 100 on the nose. You have 85 on the button.
Okay.
Your final category is going to be in astronomy.
Astronomy.
Wow. Okay.
Astronomy.
Are you just going to sing that a bunch?
It's a Metallica song. Mm. My wager is in.
Okay, my wager's in.
So here is your final question. Put these famous astronomers in order of their birth, starting with the earliest. Your choices are Copernicus, Galileo, Nostradamus, and Kepler.
All right, I'm in. You can talk.
I'm in too. I was going between two different answers, so.
All right, go ahead and share your answers.
All right, so my first one is Nostradamus 1, Galileo 2, Copernicus 3, and Kepler 4.
We're very close. I said Galileo 1. I believe he was in the 1400s. I said Nostradamus 2. I'm pretty sure he was in the 1500s. Copernicus is the one that's messing with me. Kepler, I'm pretty sure, is in the late 16 or early 1700s. Copernicus, because his name feels old school Latin or Greek, it makes me think he's early, but I don't think he is. So I have him third. So I said Galileo, Nostradamus, Copernicus, Kepler is the order I went in.
All right. So the oldest of these gentlemen born in 1473 is Copernicus.
Oof.
Whoa. Wow. So he was the oldest.
Yep. Then Nostradamus in 1503.
Mm.
Galileo 1564.
Oh, I have my Galileo way off.
And Kepler 1571.
They were all within the same century of
roughly
each other.
Yeah. Within a century.
Whoa, man.
Yeah, I didn't want to put like Hubble on there.
That'd be
obviously been like, okay.
Haley.
Yeah, Haley.
All right, Jonathan.
Well, my friend.
You bet zero.
I did because I know that your astronomy is one of the things that you're not a fan of. And so I felt that this was one of those situations where you might actually bet zero even when you were behind because you didn't have any confidence in your ability to answer it right. Yeah. So I went zero for that reason.
Yeah. No, I did. Actually, I went all in. I went 84.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then this is a nice round number to end the game. The final score is 100 to zero.
No, to one.
You said you went all in.
I went 80. No, I said I went all in on the answer, but it was 84 points is what I went to.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought that all way in I did meant not, all in.
No, that way I didn't go zero.
So you didn't go all in.
So.
Just tell him he's right so we can end the show.
Well, you're not all in if you don't put all your money in.
It's not enough that he won the game. He has to be right on this, too.
All right, so final score is 100 to 1.
Yes.
100 to 1.
Nice job, man.
Well, it's another win for Jonathan.
I'm not saying it.
Not saying it. That's fine. Let's jump to our Warhead of the Week.
Yes.
We have a new Warhead of the Week. His name is Jeff Jones.
Nice.
Jeff sent in a submission. You can become a Warhead at the TrivialWarfare.com website. Right on the front, there's a button that says Become a Warhead. You click that and fill in a little form, and it sends a message to me. And Jeff had some very nice things to say about the show, but he also mentioned Chris specifically and thanked him for sharing his story about the weight loss that he's been doing and the work that he's been doing. And so wanted to acknowledge that. Jeff, we appreciate you. Thanks for listening. And Chris, I love to hear that you're inspiring anybody. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's just and to kind of give people updates, I mean, I've lost 201 pounds now. I started this journey at 452 pounds, and now I'm down to 250 and feeling the best of my life. I tell you, it's amazing getting out of bed and not having joints hurt, back hurt, knee hurts, or what have you. And Jeff, I really appreciate the kind words that you sent in to us, for sure. And if anybody's ever interested in reading kind of detailed about my journey and the weight loss that I've done and everything, you can go to a site called Plain Vanilla Fitness. Again, that's Plain Vanilla Fitness. That's a website that my trainer, Francesca, does. And I did a blog entry for a better part of a year with her on that. Did 50 entries into it. And basically everything that was going on in my head, whether it be the depression that I went through from time to time, to the weight loss, to struggling with moving, to even struggling with eating, I listed it out there. And it was definitely something I'm very proud of. And I know a lot, I've had a few people that have read it and really gotten a lot out of it. So, but Jeff, again, thanks for your time, and keep fighting, man. That's all you can ever ask is just, you know what, you're going to have bad days, and the biggest thing is not to let those bad days get you and to stop it right then and there. That's something that Jonathan taught me a long time ago. It's like, you're in, I mean, you control the mood that you're in, whether it's good or whether it's bad. And it's your job to decide, you know what, it stops here so that I can get back to having a good day.
Well, there you go. I'd love to read an iTunes review to you guys today.
Great.
But we don't have one.
Don't!
So that's a shame. I like to read iTunes reviews on the show, but we haven't had any new iTunes reviews since the last one I read, so nothing to share there.
Hey, Ben, where's your iTunes review, man?
No pressure. How many times you been on the show now?
Come on, man.
Wow.
Everybody doesn't. Well, obviously not everybody does it because we don't have one to read right now.
So, I mean, you know, if you want me to put into words what's going on, but I thought that my dedication by hosting the show multiple times would be kind of a review.
But yeah, but you got to let the world know.
Yeah, but isn't
it, is the Great Commission.
Yeah, but isn't that like
whoa.
Yeah, but
whoa.
Here's my dilemma with doing that.
Oh, is you have a dilemma about giving us an iTunes review?
Yes, because I'm contributing to the content of the show.
I did an iTunes review.
Of yourself.
I did an iTunes review. I created the show and I did one. Why?
It
that
just
shouldn't
seems,
be a dilemma.
It just seems
I
unethical.
Am the slappy sidekick and I did one.
Yeah, but are people really going to trust it if they know I host the show? Oh, of course I'm going to say the show's
the
awesome.
The more the better.
And the merrier.
That's the merrier. Right. We like being merry. So
and
no
bright.
iTunes reviews today. But
if I don't use Apple devices, am I still required to write an iTunes review?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
We love you, Ben.
Write
the review.
Actually, for people. So I'm an Android user, right? So I don't have the podcast app on my phone, but I still subscribe to it on my iTunes account on my computer because a lot of people have iTunes on their computer even if they have Android on their phone. You can still subscribe to the show. We get the download, which helps us, and it doesn't hurt you at all.
I'll do it. Jeez.
All right. Good deal. All right, Chris, why don't you get us out of here?
All right. Ben, thank you again, sir. I know we were picking on you about the iTunes review, but we really appreciate you stepping in, and your questions were great, so
no,
thank you.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks.
All right, Jonathan, well done, man. You're on a little bit of a roll here. I'm going to have to knock you off that pedestal.
Is it a Tootsie Roll?
Well, it depends.
A Jelly Roll?
Maybe just
Tootsie Roll.
Maybe a Finger Roll? Because if it's one thing Jonathan can do, it's
finger roll.
So, all right. If you want to get in touch with Jonathan, feel free to, of course, find him on the Twitter. But you can also...
At Trivial Warfare.
You can also email him at trivialwarfare@gmail.com. Again, that's trivialwarfare@gmail.com. If you send him a question, he will read it because he's just that good.
I'll challenge Chris with it. He's the one who has to answer it on the air.
Send easy questions.
Send hard questions.
Send
people.
Star Wars questions.
Send questions that'll make Chris cry.
I've already done that a few times today. Isn't that enough for you?
No.
Okay. Until next time, Chris cries. That's Jonathan. That's Ben. And I'm Chris. And this is Trivia Warfare, where it's not just trivia. It's war.
What is it good for?
Absolutely nothing.
Say it again.
Hey!
The beaver capital of the world?
Nope.
I might have to move there.
It's too bad you can't keep that in the show.
Sure I can.
You got to read the ratings first.
No, that is totally acceptable. Okay. Our rating is PG, and the one thing that I put as a click on what the PG is for suggestive dialogue.
Mm. No, what I was saying is you need to check the ratings in the city before you go there, because...
Oh.
Yeah, they're not all the same. Some are good.
You may want to go to Yelp and check it out.
Yeah.
How are the beavers in Beaver City?